My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit us.
You know, evidence is everywhere when we look about the earth. We see tree trunks that are strung about between multiple layers of strata, where evolutionists will say each level of strata represents millions and billions of years, but yet we see one tree trunk going through multiple layers of supposedly that millions and trillions of years. We see in our earth things such as the Grand Canyon, such as Mount Everest, beautiful valleys, beautiful physical depictions of design and creation. We read historical records of various cultures writing about this thing known as the Great Flood. Jesus himself spoke of this great flood in Matthew chapter 24. There is physical evidence all over creation that God not only created this earth, but that some type of catastrophe took place after creating this world. Hence, the world looks much older than it really is. For if any one of us were to suffer some form of catastrophe, we would look much older and look much more worn down than we truly, really are in age. The flood has a great amount of implication on our life, on our understanding, and in our Christianity. It shows us that God will one day judge mankind. This flood was global. It took place over all of the earth. And although this picture and this depiction here is somewhat pretty, if you will, and cute, it really doesn't show the full effect of the flood. Because within those waters, there are souls. There are bodies that drowned, because when the flood took place, it took place because of the judgment of God. But it also shows us not only that God judges the world, but that God provides a way of escape, a way of safety for those who are faithful to Him. The ark shows us that God wants man to survive. This morning, we're going to study surviving the flood. We're going to notice how God commanded Noah and the people of that day how they could survive the judgment that was going to come upon them. And we're going to seek to make application throughout our study. We're first going to need to ask the question, why was the flood sent? Well, it was sent because of God's punishment. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and beginning in verse 5, we see that God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. God looks about his creation and God sees things. First of all, God sees the wicked deeds and actions of man. You know, sometimes we might think, especially as we're growing up in our homes, that if mom and dad don't see it, then to them, we just didn't do it. That somehow we can get away with it if it's kept in secret and if it's behind closed doors. But God sees behind every closed door. God sees everything that is done in secret. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13 tells us that all things are naked and opened unto God. God sees everything. And he saw the wickedness of the earth. But not only did he see their actions, he likewise saw their hearts. He saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God not only sees the physical things that we do, but he likewise sees our hearts. As he would tell Samuel in 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, the Lord looketh on the heart. God sees the very thoughts that we think. And in this case, during this time, man was not only performing and engaging in wickedness, but what was driving him to do so was the fact that his heart, his mind, was on evil. Folks, if we want to avoid doing wickedness, if we want to avoid performing acts of unrighteousness, then we need to cleanse our mind and keep them pure and free from wickedness and unrighteousness. We're not ever going to be able to fill our minds with wickedness and unrighteousness while at the same time totally avoid going down a path of wickedness and unrighteousness. Our thoughts lead to our actions, and our thoughts are governed by that which we fill our minds with. The saying goes, trash in, trash out. Well, that's what this world was back then. They were filling their minds with trash, and they were then producing trash. And so God is going to bring punishment upon them. But notice that this punishment was not just abruptly brought by God. This punishment was something that grieved God. God was grieving over the fact that man was in such a state. You see there at the end of verse 6? It grieved him at his heart. We need to understand that when we perform acts of wickedness, when we think thoughts of unrighteousness, that that causes God to suffer. Peter states in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, when people are not repenting, when folks are not penitent, it causes God to suffer. It causes God to grieve. And so here God is grieving not only that man's mind is on wickedness, but it grieves Him that He even made man because they're choosing this path. And we understand that the path that we choose, we will then have to reap the consequences of those choices. Galatians 6 and verse 7. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man is going to sow thoughts of wickedness, if a man is going to sow deeds of wickedness, then a man is then going to reap the consequences of wickedness, which in this case is God's punishment. Why was the flood sent? It was sent because of God's punishment. But God did not just decide to punish all of creation and not in any way bestow His grace and His mercy upon any man. But there was a man that was living righteously, as Ezekiel tells us, and that man's name is Noah. This man lived righteously, and in doing so, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord in verse 8. And so God is going to create a plan so that those who are seeking after Him, those who are not wanting to engage in wickedness, but rather engage in righteousness, will find survival. And we see that God gives the details of this plan in verses 14 through 16. Read God commanding Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. You know, sometimes folks will say, God is not a God of pattern. God is not a God of details. Well, here we see something quite contrary to that belief. We see that God is very much a God of pattern, and that God is being very detailed as to how Noah is to build this ark. But we also hear sometimes that God is not close-minded. And hence we're called to not be close-minded and to be open-minded, to tolerate all, and to be accepting of all those who practice whatever it may be that they practice. But here we see that God is indeed close-minded, that God has a singular way of doing things. God does not state that just any boat, any ship, any ark will do. But He says that the place of salvation, the place of survival, is going to be found in a singular place. And that place is going to be within this ark. Sometimes folks may also say that God's plan just simply seems absurd. And because it seems absurd, there's no way that God would ever command something like that. It just doesn't make any sense. Well, let's think about what was taking place here during Noah's day. This place of survival would have seemed absurd. We read in Genesis 2 and verse 5 that when God first created the world, that He had not caused it to rain on the earth. That the way that the earth was nourished was by a mist that came up out of the earth. Some have suggested that there was a canopy around the earth, almost like a greenhouse. And so God was nourishing the earth by the heat that was a result of the canopy and the sun beaming upon the canopy, and that it had not yet rained. And so here Noah would have been going around, a preacher of righteousness, 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, and would have been telling souls to watch out for the rain that was going to come. Now they would have looked at him and thought he was crazy. They would have thought he was absurd. Rain, Noah? What's rain? What are you talking about? A flood's coming. We've never seen rain before. To them, it would have been absurd. But Noah preached to those who were unrighteous, as we read in 1 Peter 3, 19 through 20. Those who were imprisoned by their unrighteousness while the ark was preparing. While Noah was setting forth the plans that God had put into place so that souls could survive the punishment that was coming. And you know, in regards to God being closed-minded, some have suggested that there were possibly a billion people alive during this time. I mean, man was living nearly 1,000 years. And so the number of children and generations that could have come about because of man living so long, it could have indeed been plenteous. We don't know how many people there were, but if there were a billion, there were only 8 souls that were saved. Now that's narrow-minded, folks. But it's not narrow-minded just because God decides He wants to be narrow-minded. It's narrow-minded because God has set a plan, God has set a pattern as to how things are to be done, and only 8 souls chose that plan. We learn in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, that that way unto destruction is wide and broad. But the way unto life, it's difficult. It's narrow. Are you struggling with your faith? Are there times it just seems hard to remain faithful? Well, guess what, folks? Jesus tells us that it's going to be that way. But if we give up the fight and we just give in, then we're not going to be able to say what Paul did in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, that we have fought the good fight and that there's a crown laid up for us. The times in this life at times may be difficult, may be challenging, but when it is difficult, we can be reminded that it is through overcoming that difficulty that we then have life in the end. Because if we choose the easy way, sure, it's easy, but it's also the way that leads to destruction. Let us not become discouraged when it becomes difficult. We notice God's plan regarding the ark, but we also notice God's planning ahead even beyond the flood. Notice with me in verse 20 of Genesis 6. Of fowl after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, 2 of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Here we see God describing to Noah the type of animals that are going to be coming unto him. And some have suggested, how could Noah have collected all the animals? Well, here it's answered for us in verse 20, toward the end of the verse, that God was going to bring the animals to Noah. And so God was already planning, thinking ahead beyond the flood, how life would be able to continue beyond the flood. God has likewise done the same for us. Yes, the place of safety He has given us, but He has also planned ahead in that Jesus states He went to go and prepare a place for us. God has already made preparation so that when this life is over, when judgment does indeed come, if we're found faithful, He has already put in place His plans and the preparation needed for us to have eternal life with Him. God has made the plans. He made the plans with Noah. But these plans were not just plans that Noah could have just sat back and said, well, God, You've given me the plans, now You just do the work as well. Notice with me in verse 22. It says that Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Verse 8 tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But verse 22 tells us that Noah did what the Lord commanded. Where's the grace? God commanded Noah how to be saved. God gave Noah a plan. God gave Noah a pathway to survival. There's the grace. Noah didn't deserve that. Where's the actual salvation? Where's the survival? God's grace, Noah's obedience to that grace, boom, you have survival. You have safety. You have salvation. The same is true with us today, is it not? God has provided to us, by His grace, His plan of salvation. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, we learn that the grace of God teaches us. That is, the very Bible that we read from, the very Bible that we study, is not given to us because we've earned it. It's not given to us because of something that we have done of merit. But it's given to us by the grace of God. But we are not saved by grace only. In other words, we are not saved just because God has given us a plan. We are saved when we take that plan, understand that plan, and put that plan into action, just as Noah did. And in regards to the plan that God has given us, just like the ark was indeed detailed, so is the church. You know, folks sometimes will say, well, it doesn't really matter how we worship. It doesn't matter how we're organized. It doesn't matter how one chooses to be saved. Just take your pick. But yet we don't read that within the Bible. We read very detailed commands as to how one ought to be saved, as to how one ought to worship, and as to how the church is to be organized. And that's no surprise to us when we consider the very detailed record that God gives to us regarding the ark in Genesis 6, 14 through 16. But not only is the church detailed, the church is also singular in nature. Just like there was only one place of salvation and that one place could be found upon the ark, no other boat would do. Likewise, there's only one place of salvation for us, and that place is the church of Christ. No other place will do. It is that church that we read in Ephesians chapter 5 that Jesus is the Savior of. He's the Savior of His church. And yes, the place for survival may indeed seem absurd to the world. They may believe that it sounds ridiculous that God would ever make just one place of survival. That God would be so narrow-minded as to lay out details as to how we ought to worship and be organized and be saved. But yet, although that might seem absurd, and although the collective is not siding with God's plan and is rejecting the idea that God has a plan, we are comforted in knowing that 8 souls were saved on the ark. And that we don't have to go with the popular notion, the popular idea. And that we can be not closed-minded, but we can be God-minded. And if we seek to do so, then we can find survival just as Noah did. But Noah would not have survived the flood, not only without God's plan, but without God's protection. Without God's protection. Notice chapter 7, verses 11 through 16. We read, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. So here the rain is starting to fall. We see that the heavens are open. The fountains of the great deep are broken up. The idea here is, based upon some scientific study, is probably what is occurring is the volcanic and lava that is existing underneath the earth is coming up to the surface. And powerful geysers, if you will, filled with lava and exploding the oceans are coming up out of the ground. And not only is the earth being flooded because it is raining very heavily from the sky and from potentially the canopy, but also because the great deep is being broken up and it's flooding from the bottom as well. The earth is beginning to flood, but God calls them into the ark, the place of safety, the place of survival. And we see that it is God who then shuts them in. God shuts the door. Now, there will come a time when the church's doors will be shut. We read in Hebrews 9, verse 27, that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. When man dies, whenever that time may come, the judgment upon his life will come. But we also know that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. And so there may come a time when God decides to close the doors of the church. And I'm not talking about the physical building structure. I'm talking about the opportunity to enter into the church and obey the gospel. There's going to come a time when God will only be protecting those who are in the place of safety as His judgment comes. Noah would not have survived without God's protection, but Noah would also not have survived without God's provisions. In verse 21 of chapter 6, we learn that God told Noah to take unto him all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. God has instructed Noah to bring within the ark all the provisions that were needed so that they could survive for 40 days and 40 nights. Noah then is going to have the food not only to nourish his family, but also to nourish the animals that are there with him upon the ark. Well, when we think about the church and we think about the church being the place of safety, likewise, God has provided us that which we have need of. You know, when we leave the world, we give up so many things. We give up relationships. We give up various activities. We give up various types of things that maybe we used to do that we just can't do anymore if we're going to remain faithful to God. But God provides to us within the church that which is far better that was out there in the world. He provides to us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. It is in Christ and in the church of Christ that we can find the spiritual blessings that we need to propel us through this life. Noah would not have survived the flood without God's provisions, and we would not survive this life without the spiritual blessings that we enjoy in Christ. But after the flood, we see that God made a promise. God allowed Noah to survive the flood. He gave him the plan. He gave him the provisions. He gave him the protection. But then afterward, he gave Noah a promise. And we read about that promise in Genesis chapter 9. Starting at verse 14, we read that God is making a covenant with Noah. And he says, "It shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." God made Noah a promise. He not only gave Noah survival throughout the flood, but after the flood was over, he gave Noah comfort and assurance that it would never happen again. Do you know that when we leave this life, if we are found in that place of survival, in that place of safety, that is the church of Christ by obedience to the gospel, that we will have the promise of eternal life that no man can ever take away from us. We will never be tried ever again. Our time period of life where we're going through a probationary state as we are right now will cease to exist. Our salvation will be secure, and Jesus states that there is no man that can pluck us then out of the hand of God. John 10 and verse 28. God has made us a promise. He has made us a promise that if we remain in that place of safety, that He will grant us eternal life, and it is when that eternal life comes that no other man can ever take it from us again. Are you in that place of safety this morning? Have you been added to the Lord's church? If the flood was coming, would you think that it would be foolish to get on that ark? I know it would be very difficult for me to ever agree with Noah that a flood's coming and get on that ark. Well, the same is true for some today. It's very difficult for some to get into the church and submit unto the gospel. Jesus tells us how to submit to the gospel in Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. He says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." That was after he told the apostles to preach the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 tells us the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, but rose again and lives eternally with the Father in heaven? If you believe that, then there is nothing preventing you from being baptized after confessing Christ is the Son of God for the remission of your sins. At this point then, the Lord will add you to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. And it is at that point then that you are in the place of safety, in the place of survival, in the place where you can find all the provisions you need spiritually and where you can find the protection you need that only God can provide. Are you ready for the flood? Because the next flood that's going to come is not a flood that consists of water, but it is a flood that consists of fire. As we read in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. Are you ready for that flood to come? Are you in the place of safety? We certainly hope you are. If you're not, you have the opportunity to obey the gospel this morning, to be added to the Lord's church, and to have the blessed assurance of getting to spend eternity with our Father in heaven. Have you left the ark? Have the floodwaters started to come up? And rather than remaining in that place of safety, you decided to go back into the flood and maybe get some of those material things that you left behind. If you've done so, come back home. Come back into the church. Come be restored and be right with God once again in that place of survival, in that place that's going to grant you eternal life. Do you have a spiritual need this morning? If you do, please come forward as all together we stand and sing.